Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for August 22nd. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you Adam. How you doing, Adam?
Pretty average.
Yeah. I feel like that's an apt description of what the feeds were like yesterday as well. So,
pretty much every day the feeds are, I would say, pretty average. So, like, I'm keeping up with the feeds, you know?
All right. Well, this was a so-so day. I try to give you a preview of the day before the podcast so you know what to expect. Not much has changed, but there was a lot of just kind of like people spinning their wheels here. So we started off the day. The house guest watched the eclipse. They had the glasses. Some of them were napping. Matt and Raven were being loud. Very exciting stuff, Adam.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing I like than waking up to Matt and Raven being obnoxious and loud.
Yes. They watched the eclipse. That was fun for them. Then we had Jason and Kevin talking about how annoying Matt and Raven were. God, how are people that loud? Kevin is like, I just feel like I don't want to talk about Raven's disease. And Jason's like, no, I know what you're talking about.
They both implied that they were very annoyed that Raven uses her disease without like actually outright saying it.
Yeah. They're trying to be smart about it, but, basically everyone has talked about it at this point. So, you know, they do have the veto ceremony. Jason takes himself off the block. Mark is the replacement nominee, without much fanfare. Mark is really not a part of anything at this point. Like he's done at this point.
Yeah. He's, and there's times where he'll like pitch something to Josh and Christmas, but I feel like the theme of this house, if you're on the outs and you're going home that week, you have like Dominique, Cody and Jessica, like you're going home, you're by yourself and the house wants you to know that. And if you try to protest that and talk to them, everyone else thinks you're working with them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure in my notes here, I've got like a full page. This is the only time I have Mark mentioned is he was the replacement nominee.
And Christmas and Josh went up to him right individually and try to console him. And then they go outside and say, yeah, like Mark is screwed. This was his plan. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. They had a conversation where it's like, look, I'm sorry that I had to do this. I feel bad about it, but you know, you're taking it really well.
Telling someone to enjoy their last few days in the house is like, I don't know. I feel like if I was in Big Brother, that would be the most annoying thing. Like, dude, enjoy your last few days in the house. It's like, okay, thank you.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure she said like, at least you're going to Jerry house. You can hang out with Elena now.
Like, okay, thanks, I guess. Like, I'll see you in hell.
Yeah. But you know, Mark doesn't say that. He's too sulky.
Yeah, so. He's too nice for Big Brother. I feel like his soul is too sweet.
The gap here between Jason and Alex and Kevin is really widening. The mistrust is Paul started the ball rolling and now it's gotten to the point where it is this cycle and it's feeding itself, right? Where like Kevin is now suspicious of Alex. Alex is now suspicious of Kevin and they're acting weird toward each other, which is feeding the paranoia. Mm-hmm. Paul doesn't even have to do anything anymore. They're just doing it to themselves.
And then like Alex obviously keeps feeding this to Jason, who's is definitely the closest person to Kevin in the house. So now Jason's starting to become weary of Kevin. And I kind of feel bad because Kevin really has no idea what's going on. He's clueless.
Yeah. I mean, Kevin is still under the assumption that like, the all the plans from like 3 weeks ago are still in effect, which, you know,
he's still loyal to Paul though. He keeps going to Paul and say, what do I do? Just let me know what I do. Which seems to be a running theme this season.
Yes. Whitney points out, same old, same old.
Well said.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the day was. Josh talked to the cameras and talked about his position in the house, saying, this is my best position so far in the game. I feel like I'm doing pretty well. People are underestimating me. I hope that me, Christmas, and Paul make it to the final three. I want Alex or Jason out next. Not sure which one I want quite yet. He feels like he's doing pretty well. You know, he knows he's played a messy game. But he feels like it's not bad, and he hopes people can respect it.
He's attributing the fact that people go home partially to that he's making a ruckus and putting a target on their back. I wouldn't necessarily say that's the reason people went home, but it maybe in the final two, if he's up against Christmas, it is something to bring up. And I think maybe people could say, okay, well, if you're not that much of an a-hole and that was your strategy, I guess I could respect it a tiny bit.
Yeah, and I think, again, I like the way that Josh is able to talk about his game, I think, is on a different level than anyone else in the house, apart from obviously Paul. And I think that's because he's such a big fan of the show. He knows how to talk about his game. He knows how to contextualize it in such a way that it looks more impressive than maybe it actually was.
If he
watches podcasts or listens to them or reads about Big Brother, then he knows all about knowing how to make someone's game seem more impressive than it is.
That's a great point. I feel like if Josh knows anything about podcasts or is on podcast after the show, you're gonna have to do a lot of audio adjusting and editing.
Meatball. All right. He feels like Kevin is the only person that's onto his game because Kevin told him that he's doing such a great job reintegrating himself and that now he's got a bunch of people on his side. So he feels very threatened by Kevin, but, Paul does have the, he has him convinced that Kevin is not a threat at the moment. So, that's sort of where Josh stands. It's funny that we've now had, Paul talk to the cameras, Christmas talk to the cameras. Now Josh has talked to the cameras. It's like, as soon as you find yourself in a really great spot, you just want to brag about it.
Really? No, it's true. And the only credit I guess I can give Josh is if you go back to week one, who would have ever thought that he'd be in any position to talk about winning Big Brother or making it to the end? So as annoying as he's been, and you could say what you want, but I do give him a little credit for getting to this point.
Yeah, especially due to the fact that like he probably would have gone home if not for that golden apple.
Yeah, it was in hindsight, what a great decision.
Yeah. So then we had Christmas talking to Josh, and she finally admits to Josh that she was one of the hinky votes to evict Ramses over Cody. And she says that, Paul knew about this, because, he asked me and I couldn't lie to him. But nobody else knows. I didn't want Mark to get away with what he was doing. I wanted to cause some paranoia, and Josh appreciated it. But I think part of him was like, oh, how come I'm just finding out and Paul has known all along?
I think it's natural to act like that, like in any situation where someone says, I didn't tell you this at first, but, and you're like, okay, well, why didn't you tell me this at first? Especially with how close Christmas and Josh are. So maybe that'll cause some paranoia and cause him to turn highly, highly unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to amount to much.
Yeah.
It was just like a little blip on the radar, like, oh, well, I don't know. So then we have Paul has started to use this argument because we know now that he is very much against the idea of ever going on the block. He wants to be able to use the argument, once he gets to the final two, I was never put on the block. So what he's doing is he's going around and telling people, man, I'm just scared to go up as a pawn like you guys have been doing, because I feel like as soon as I'm up there, people are going to take a shot at me because I'm a vet and I'm such a big target. And so he's trying to preemptively be like, well, if anyone's ever looking for a pawn, don't look at me because I'm too it's too dangerous for me to go up on the block. And people are like, yeah, we agree.
Both Josh and Christmas both said at different times yesterday. Josh first said that he would make sure that he's the pawn over Paul and he would take the target off his back. Christmas literally said, you deserve to be in the end. You and Josh deserve it. You've carried me. I will deflect the target from you and put it on my back. Like, that is the epitome of this season, what Christmas said last night. And it was definitely like, oh my God, like, who does this?
Yeah. Matt and Raven also talked about, we totally wouldn't use you as a pawn, Paul. We need to get you as far as possible because you need to get us as far as possible. What Paul is doing is working here. And it does seem as though it's going to be a hard thing to find to see Paul on the block anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And not only have people talked about Paul not going up as a pawn, yesterday Jason and Kevin had a conversation and then Alex and Jason about how much of a threat Paul is and how he'll most likely get the jury votes. And then they just kind of walked over like it was nothing. Like, yeah, it's true. Okay, so now what? Like, what?
Yeah. So to continue, Matt is telling Paul that, look, Paul, you and Raven are the best two players in this game. And this is funny. Not only was it funny because, Matt is telling Paul to his face that he's the best player in the game and that he's been orchestrating everything and that if anyone wants to win the game, they need to take Paul out. But he's also saying that, like, Raven is up there on the same level. He says all of those things, but about Paul and Raven, he's like, you two are the best players in the game. You've both been orchestrating everything behind the scenes. It was ridiculous.
What has Raven done in this game, like, besides offer to go on the block as a pawn or a replacement or whatever it was that one week? Like, what game moves can she claim other than that?
She barked at Jessica.
Oh my God, that was I take the back the Christmas thing. That was the lowest moment of the season by far.
yeah, it's ridiculous. And this is so absurd that it sets Paul off. He's like, what's happening here? Is Matt on to me? Like, why is Matt saying this to me right now? He couldn't possibly be saying what I think he's saying. This has to be something weird. He runs to Christmas. He's like, Christmas, Matt just told me that if anyone wants to win the game, they need to take me out and that I'm playing the best game, that I'm orchestrating everything. Like, something has to be going on here. Has he talked to Alex? Are we in trouble? Have they turned against us? Oh my God, what's happening? And Christmas is just like, I don't know. I feel like maybe he just only cares about getting Raven as far as possible and we don't need to worry about anything.
Which he does. Like, you would think that, okay, like, this guy's here eventually he's gonna do something. Nope, just wants to get Raven far in, and it starts to question what they're putting in the cereal at this point.
Paul ends up having a very frank discussion with Christmas about his strategy moving forward. As you mentioned, she said that she'd deflect for him if he ever got in trouble. Paul was, I think, a little too honest in this conversation. Mm-hmm. He really, like, laid out his entire strategy. But it does seem as though Christmas is willing to lay down for him. I don't know if that's true, though. It may be the kind of thing where, like, maybe she believes it right now, but when it comes to it, she probably won't. Or maybe she's even a little bit playing him right now, making it seem as though she would lay down when maybe she, in fact, wouldn't. But the thing is, in this game, it doesn't matter how loyal somebody is. You don't want them to know your full plan, because if anything ever changes, now they know the information, right? Like, exactly. Victoria was always loyal to Derek, but she never knew the full plan, because exactly. On the off chance that she ever did flip, she couldn't harm him. And when Zach ends up getting Victoria to doubt him for a brief period of time, there was no real information that she could give Zach to ruin Paul's game or Derek's game. So you need to be a little careful. Yeah, you need to be a little careful with the information here. I do think it's, again, the kind of thing where it's like Paul has been talking about it on the feeds, like to the cameras, and he's excited about it. And so he's just like, he can't help it. He just wants to tell other people how great of a position they're in. Mm.
And I think he also understands that if he does go to the end or even final four, final three with Christmas, she's not doing anything to win. Like, there's a very small chance she'll win competitions. And I was thinking about how Christmas perceives the whole Paul situation. Do you think some of these people, like Christmas, Whistlenut, are aligning with Paul and going as far with Paul and think that they're going to the end with Paul because they think he's loved and just want his fans and just want fame after this and would take the fame of being friends with Dead Skull than winning Big Brother?
I think that he has formed a relationship with, I think Christmas genuinely likes Paul. I think, like I said, I don't think she's really playing, there might be a little bit of her playing him, but I think she just genuinely likes Paul and thinks of him as a really good friend. They formed a bond in week one when they both were, you know, when Cody tried to put him up and then ended up putting Christmas up, Paul ends up saving her there. They made a very tight bond because of that, like through that, where they said that.
Sorry about that. Hold on, let me go. Just keep talking. I'll
tell you. They said that. Sorry. They said that they would never turn on each other, that they would have like this sort of like secret deal. They didn't even need to talk about it much. And it's really held true throughout the entire game. He did the same thing with Josh. He was one of the few people that would talk to Josh and help Josh out in the beginning of the game when everyone had turned on him. He helped save Josh from the block as well. So he formed a really great relationship there. And then obviously with Alex, he's had this secret relationship since the beginning of the game. So they all feel like they're friends with him and that like he deserves to be there. And he's also talked so much about like, man, like, I just don't want to disappoint my fans. I just, like, I want to get to the end. And they feel like, yeah, well, like, we don't want you to disappoint your fans either. Like, we want to help you get here. And it's really, you know, we can talk about the advantage of being a vet and everything. And I think that's part of it too, where it's like, he is not only do they like him and they think of him as a friend, but he is this authority figure and they want to please him, because he has been so kind to gift them, you know, this great position in the game.
Yeah, I hope Big Brother, when they review everything and maybe have their end of the season meeting and plan for future seasons, they could see, okay, bringing a vet back so soon after they were such a fan favorite and played a solid game, they may not be they're going to be a huge target. But instead of that, this season, everyone just wants to work with Paul and be his best friend. So, and obviously that's led to, we've had drama, but the gameplay has been extremely lackluster.
Yeah, I mean, they really just need to not bring in a soul vet. They really need to stop mixing casts. Just like all new players, all vets. It's so simple, but they can't figure it out. But again, like, as much as we complain, this has been one of their highest rated seasons in a while. So,
yeah, they know what they're doing, I guess. But it's, I guess, the super fan perspective or the hardcore fans it compared to the casuals. You really can't compare, because a casual fan is like, Paul, big beard, friendship, I love him. And that's our perception of the casuals. And then there's the hardcores who are watching the podcast and they're listening to the podcast and saying, oh, we hate Paul. He's just, because he's everyone's following him and being his minion. So I guess they know what they're doing, but it's still frustrating from someone who truly appreciates the gameplay aspect of the show.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. We have Alex and Jason. They talk about how, as you mentioned, they're talking about, like, okay, the final three should be us and Paul, because we're the only people that deserve it. And Alex then starts to talk about, and this was a little interesting here. This is one of the more, one of the newest pieces of information that we got from yesterday. She does say to Jason, I feel like the jury house is stacked for Paul. I feel like he beats anyone in the end. And we had always assumed that, especially without Jason there, Alex would take Paul to the final two, only to lose to him. But she is aware that she would lose to him. And that's something that we didn't really know.
Yeah.
So she's saying, I mean, he's got Cody, he's got Mark, Elena, he's got Matt and Raven. Like, he would totally beat us. And they didn't really go anywhere with that. Like, they didn't say, like, therefore we need to make sure he doesn't get to the final two. But the fact that she's aware of it means that I do think she would think twice before taking him.
Yeah, and I think maybe she would even expect Paul to realize that she would take Jason over him. But if we got to that point, which at this point I don't think it's likely, but if we got to that in Paul, there still could be the chance that Alex could say, Paul deserves it, Jason. Like, you know, I love you, but Paul deserves to be here. We both played the hardest games, or we both won competitions. So I wouldn't be that surprised if she did take Paul to the end.
Yeah, D in the chat points out, remember, Alex wants to be second this year so she can come back next season.
God.
I know people cite that. I don't know how true that is, but I do think it's in her head that she wouldn't mind losing. She wants to be a character on the show more than she wants to be a winner. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean she's going to actively try to lose, but I do think that it sort of, like, hinders her ability to go for the kill.
And I think she has this perception to Paul would make her, like, sweetheart. Played a great game. We love Alex. I think that's what she's seeing in her head.
Yes. They talk again about how they're not happy with Kevin and what he's doing. Meanwhile, Kevin is talking to Paul and he's saying he's pissed at Alex. Again, like, this is just feeding itself at this point. He says Alex has no shot to win this game. Nobody's going to vote for her. I would vote for a pair of shoes over Alex, which is better than a bottle of ketchup, I guess.
No, very true. I take the shoes.
Yeah. He says he thinks that Alex is going to take a shot at him and that Paul is only her second choice after Jason. And Paul is like, oh, should I go and talk to Alex and maybe see where she stands on this? Kevin's like, oh, yeah, yeah, go talk to her. And then Paul goes to Alex and says, this is what Kevin just said about you. So Paul is telling her, you know, Kevin wants to take a shot at you and Jason. And then he tries to convince Alex that Jason would beat her in the final two, setting this up, like, if they do make it to final three, you know, I think Jason has the votes. Alex is saying, I don't know, if they do like the round table thing and they have like Dr. Will come in and tell everyone to vote for the best player, I feel like I could beat him. And Paul goes, hey, look what happened to me.
Yeah, because as Paul was such a the clear winner last season. No, I understand, I guess, what Alex thinks because she won a few competitions. But when it comes to from a strategic standpoint, do you think she just looks at it like me and Paul are calling the shots? Like that's her mindset in the game?
It's hard to say. Like, I think that in terms of like how she pictures the end game, yeah. I think that she wants to get down to that final three and then. I do think she wants to take Jason and beat him. I think that she thinks that that's what's going to happen. But as Maureen points out, Jason would beat her. And I think that's completely true. She has completely, Maureen again, awful. Alex has awful jury management. She's completely, disregarded all of her relationships in the house beyond just, Jason and Paul. She has nothing outside of them and nobody likes her. And that's why I thought Jason was such a compelling winner candidate for a while, because it did look like Paul wanted to take Alex and Jason to the final four. And if Jason got to that point, he is the clear winner candidate because he beats anyone in that final four, I'm pretty sure. But the problem is, Jason is no longer going to get there. Alex probably isn't either, because Paul has recognized that wasn't the best situation for his game and he's changed things up. So, you know, I mean, she just, again, like she, it was the sort of thing where it was like Paul was going to get her into a position to get to the end game. And that was great for her for half the game. But she hasn't recognized that, like, because she gave him so much power, he now decided, wait, this is actually not in my best interest. So I'm going to just change over here. And now all of a sudden she's left in the dark and she doesn't even know it yet.
I wonder how she's going to react when this is your game. This, we did this for you because we know you would never be able to do it. I wonder if she'll buy that or she'll say, no, I'm against you now. Like I could see her buying and just going back into the fold, but I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. I mean, Paul has to be very careful with how he takes Jason out. If he does it himself, I think he could lose Alex. I really do. I think she really does like Jason even more than she likes Paul. So it's very important for him to get Matt or Raven or Christmas or Josh to do it for him.
Sure.
And he has expressed that he wants to throw the next HOH to any of them, if he's able to. But you know, we could see some fireworks if Paul ends up taking the shot or having some sort of slip up and showing Alex his cards. Then we could see Alex turn on him. And even, you know, there's been a lot of tension between Kevin and Alex, but I could see them, if they realize that Paul has turned on them, coming together and being like, I feel like Paul instigated all of this. Maybe we should work together. He tries to convince Alex that he doesn't have the votes in the jury, even though she thinks that he does. It doesn't really work too well. And then, of course, by the end of the day, the very, very last thing, Paul goes back to Christmas and says, after talking with all these people, he's basically like, yeah, I was just being paranoid. You know, I just, things seemed too good to be true, but they are true. So we're good. And that's really a good summary for Big Brother 19 for Paul. Yeah,
exactly. And you couldn't said it better.
Yes. All right. So pretty short update today. Let me know if you have any further questions in the chat. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot. People just spinning their wheels. Lots of talk about Kevin and, you know, lots of just pointless stuff that I'm not going to go over, stuff that people say all the time over and over. I try to give you the new and relevant information. We will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern. I'm trying to put this together to get Lita and Brent on the show tomorrow for the update so that they can do this whole reading thing. They can give some alternative zings to the ones that will be coming up on the Wednesday night episode. See if they can come up with better ones. They did this on the RuPaul's Drag Race podcast, and it was very, very funny. So hopefully that'll be a lot of fun. So check that out. And then the Eric Stein episode of The Taran Show just came out today. Lots and lots of fun. Already getting some people very excited about that. It really was a lot of fun. Oh, thank you, Nina. She loved the Eric Stein interview. He had tons of great stories and lots of interesting stuff about his life that he hasn't really opened up about before. So make sure you check that out. And of course, we'll be live tomorrow night after the Wednesday night episode to talk about the veto and all of that and the Zingbot. We'll talk about that. So thank you for coming on with me, Adam.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you for having me, Taran.
All right. So thank you, everyone else, for joining us. We will see you next time.